Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. We gotta change it, just you and me. Stop using the dope.
Brothers and my sisters, we praise God and we thank God for this marvelous Monday, this last Monday of January in the year 2021, January 25. We praise God that January is almost come and gone once again. 2021 is up and running fast. And I tell you what, if you don't have the proper motivation, it'll leave you in the dust. We praise God and we thank God for each and every one of you here tonight. My name is Jesse Storr. I'll be your host this evening. We are not in the studio. We are traveling, and because of that, we will be somewhat limited in our capability to facilitate many of the calls that may come in this evening. But we praise God and pray that even though we are not in the studio, that we will be a blessing to you. As we have a subject tonight that we think is very, very worthy for all of our consideration. But before we do that, let's start off by a word of prayer and making sure we invite in the Creator to this time together. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to come together once again as men and women committed to the process of marriage or looking for ways to improve everything that is related to marriage and our approach to marriage. We come tonight knowing that marriage is a very unique yet very sacred relationship, and that while there are many books that may be written and sometimes classes that may be made available, there is nothing that can fully prepare you for all of the realities and all of the challenges of marriage. Yeah, we come together each Monday night, Father, after prayer and come to play completion in an attempt to bring clarity to something that is a very complex yet very rewarding reality in dispensation. And so tonight, once again, we invite you in, Father, to come and make your presence be known as we come together once again, giving you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We hear the term quite often, my brothers and sisters, about motivation. And I'm motivated tonight to allow my queen to get some rest. We stepped out of town for a moment. She's been running hard, working hard, and she just literally is resting. And so I praise God that she can get some rest in, and she's been having some challenging times, as women often do, as they go through some of the changes that they uniquely experience in life. And if you're one of our regular listeners, she shared a lot of that journey over the past couple of years and over the past couple of weeks. So every now and then when I have an opportunity to allow her to rest and relax and unwind, I do what I can to make sure that gets done. It's not easy because it's difficult oftentimes for my wife to take a break, for her to say, I'm going to chill for a moment, or I'm going to do everything I can to just get some sleep. And so I praise God and I do thank God that on this opportunity to spend a couple of days down here, it's been very relaxing. Hasn't been a lot of sunshine, I will say that. But at the same time, it's just been relaxing to be able to hear the ocean, the waters coming in and out. Just kind of lulls you to sleep, give you a sense of a relaxation. And so that was the motivation we had after being denied entry at our daughter's game, basketball game on Saturday. We stayed around and thank God that we have. And although we were not able to accomplish the number one desire, which was to see her in to play in person, we were able to hear them and see them on our phones and that they were indeed victorious. A great, great game for any of you that are basketball fans. You can go to Georgia Southwestern State University and see a beautiful game by the Hurricanes as they came back against the Saints of Flagler College in St. Augustine, Florida, for a one-point overtime victory. A very, very exciting time. And since that time, since that particular game, we say with all, I guess you may say, is the parents that are pleased with their progress of their child at this stage of their college career, we thank God that our daughter, Jalea, was the player of the week for the Peach Belt Conference. So we thank God for that and thank God for her continuing development and what she's doing and just a young girl, but we praise God and thank God that it'll be just one of many in her career. But most of all, we pray that she will continue to walk with a strong commitment for excellence in academics, because academics is where it really is happening. So again, we praise God and we thank God for the concept of motivation. Now, we know in motivation, I can tell you even from their team, prior to coming down, their team had to give consideration to the fact that this particular team had beaten them in a scrimmage earlier, about a month or so ago, down at America's Georgia. And one of the players had hit 6 of 8 from the three-point line. And I said to Jalea, I said, I don't believe that'll be duplicated. I said, all players are capable of having these tremendous games where they do everything perfectly. But to come back and repeat those assignments, that's a different story. And so, again, although the young lady had a good game on Saturday, she didn't have the same kind of game that she had back in America's. And because of that earlier loss, I believe that the Georgia Southwestern team had motivation. They also had motivation because their leading scorer had gone down in the first 2 minutes of their game last Wednesday. And in that game, they were playing with a lot of shock they lost, and they lost in by a greater margin than I believe they should have. And so they came down to Florida being motivated, shorthanded, six of their players, seven of their players, injured reserve, not able to play, came down with the capability of playing about eight people, I would imagine. And some kind of way, they had enough motivation, enough focus, enough determination to go into overtime with a banged-up squad, as they would say, to win the game. How motivated are you to win in your marriage? How motivated are you to win in your relationship? It takes a high degree of motivation to be able to withstand all of the storms that life is going to bring your way. During the state, one of the things that people are concerned about all the time are storms. You know, whenever we see a hurricane stirring up in the Gulf of Mexico or in the Atlantic Ocean, all eyes become glued in to the Weather Channel as we try to get a good feel for what's going to be the storms that are coming the way. And see, in our marriage, we will have storms. Those storms will be like hurricanes. They'll be like tornadoes. There'll be like icy rain and snow and sleet. There'll be days when it seems like we've got to put on an extra layer of clothing to be able to create the warmth necessary to maintain the relationship. And see, that's what we must begin to understand, that just as we've spoken over these past 2 weeks on vision, you know, think about it. We spoke about that last week. We mentioned in an integrative manner, the vision of Dr. King and how it was impacted by his queen. And at the end of the day, you know, we step back sometime and say, what is the motivation? What is the reasons or the reasons that we act or that we believe or that our behavior is in a certain way? What is that? What causes us? What is the reason? Sometimes we live in a world that cares very little for that. We live in a world sometimes that's not much motivated about reason. They don't care. We're in a world today where it appears and seems like more than anything else is about me, myself, and I. And me, myself, and I can be something that we may not want to pursue, that we may not want to see all the time, that instead we may want to have a greater understanding, a greater reason for why this is or that is. What's your motivation? Why are you married today? What causes you even at this moment in a time where you may be going through some trials and tribulations? There may be things that you don't quite understand. There may be things that seem to challenge you more than that which is necessary. What is your motivation? Do you have a motivation strong enough to say that when I first saw this person, there was something about them that attracted me? What was it? See, they blame us men oftentimes of saying we were attracted to the physicality, that perhaps you walked by, and as you walked by, you had a beautiful set of legs, or perhaps you had a beautiful backside. Maybe you had a beautiful neck, or maybe you turned around and it was that smile that was so captivating. Maybe it was just the way you twinkled your eyes. Maybe you had dimples and it was something. Maybe it was just your overall personality. But there was something that caused you and your spouse to be attracted to each other. Perhaps it was also the intellect. You were a little different. You know, you weren't a nerd, but you had a different perspective. You had a different swagger about yourself. Or maybe it was something about her that set her apart. She was a little different from the other young ladies, and it caught your attention. It attracted you to the point that you became motivated. You developed the reasons. You began to see it in your own mind's eye. You began to develop your own little list, your own little reasons why you wanted to be with your spouse. And over the process of time, you began to develop more confidence and being willing to risk it, to put yourself out for the possibility of being rejected. You were able to share, you were willing to share with your friends, your best friends, and you said, I want to be with this person, or I think this person is special, or she's this, or he's that. You begin to speak. You begin to say the very thing you desire. Sometimes we forget the very things that cause us to be attracted, the very reasons that cause our behavior to maybe change from that which it had been before. It's called motivation. You're now motivated to see something happen. You're motivated to see something change. You're motivated to make a difference. And, of course, along the way, there are things that occur in our lives. And these things that occur in our lives sometimes make it difficult for us to think, feel, or believe that we have maintained all of the proper motivation. But see, many times we have. We maintain it, yet we just oftentimes don't know how to deploy it. We don't know how to share it. When things become difficult sometimes and we want to get into situations that relieve us from the pain, the very person we sometimes will forget the motivation is their spouse. See, what would it be like if we could learn, that we could grow, that we could develop to a point to where we remain and maintain that same level of motivation that we had from the beginning? See, so then we have to ask ourselves a question. What impacts our motivation? What causes us to have a certain motivation when we want to first get together? Whether or not that motivation was the physicality we mentioned or the intellect that we mentioned, or perhaps even some people would say it's the economic reality that exists today. That if I had a mate, if I had someone that I was married to, someone that was my spouse, that it would still be less to have two under a roof than one. That if we both had a home, if we both had a place to live, or we both had this or that or whatever, then the total in expense is going to be more than if we were able to come together. So whatever the motivation may be, we have to go back and examine, what was it? Was it the relationship that he or she had with their families? Was it the relationship that he or she had with an area of their life's committed work? What was it that in your own psychosis, in your own perspective of life, in your own philosophy that motivated you? What was the reasons that caused your behavior to change to the point that all around knew and understand this person was special? Motivation. And we know over the course of time, just as we have developed these positive reasons, just as we have implemented and deployed Philippians 4:8, that there is release in the universe this power that is designed to come against everything you desire and want for your spouse. Now, they're brought on oftentimes by external realities. They're not. You know, sometimes, you know, you begin to age, you get older. And as you get older, things do change unless you make a concentrated effort to make sure they don't change too rapidly. You know, there's a thing called you get together, you have children. And all of a sudden, children can change your life. Some of us, when we have children, we sometimes lose the focus of the relationship that all of a sudden the child comes into play. And when the child becomes a reality, now all of a sudden, sometimes for the spouse, the other spouse may not be as important. The other spouse may then suffer from an element of rejection, not knowing how to articulate, not even believing that such a thing was reality. Yet they have a hard time adjusting to the fact that now they are no longer the center of attention. And see, we don't understand this, but sometimes it's very difficult for a man that's been the center of attention, or a man that's been able to give his wife the center of attention, or it could have been a bilateral joint center of attention. But now all of a sudden the child has been injected into the relationship. Now you must begin to move on a different level. You must begin to readjust things that you've been doing in the past. Do you have the capability to do so? Are you motivated enough in your relationship that you'll make the changes necessary to make sure you have success in your marriage? See, it takes motivation to succeed in marriage. It takes a mature level of motivation that when these challenges come in life, you're not going to get to a point to say, I don't want to deal with that. I don't have to deal with that. Do they know who I am? Do they understand I don't have to do that? Yes. But see, as a father or as a mother, that when those relationships and those opportunities come, you do have a different kind of responsibility. Now you got to broaden yourself. You got to become more expanded in your perspective of life. You no longer can be that self-absorbed individual that you just only focus and center on everything that will satisfy and please you. There'll come a time when you got to make some personal sacrifices. That's if you are motivated to walk in oneness. See, we want to look at some of the things that cause these situations. We mentioned childbearing. See, one thing is for sure. If God blesses you, and it is a blessing, and God blesses you with the ability to have children, it will change your life forever. It will never be the same. It's impossible for it to be the same. Just give a little illustration. When you were married, all the person you need to consider or give consideration to was your spouse. You didn't have to worry about who was going to take care of the child. You didn't have to worry about giving consideration to anything but each other. Sometimes we may have even pets, and although there is a responsibility for a pet, it's not like a child. Let's not get it twisted. It's not the same. A pet, when it's after it's born just a few weeks, will be able to run around. You'd be able to put them in some confined area, and they'd be all right for a few hours. They'd be okay maybe even for overnight. The worst they would do would probably handle their business in a corner in a cage if you had them in a cage and they couldn't wait till you get there. But see, a child, you couldn't leave a child just born a few weeks, a few months. You couldn't leave them. And so that alone requires us to have the right kind of motivation. See, the motivation that can come out of physicality, the end result could be a child. Nothing wrong with being motivated by the physicality, by the desire to be intimate with your spouse. But the other possibility that comes out of that is you could end up being a parent. And it comes into play the next challenge. You know, the challenge of after child is that you are a parent. And when you are a parent, the challenge becomes within the marriage relationship, the fact that you all may see what being a parent is differently. How many of you, if you ask yourself even right now, when you were growing up, did your parents see marriage differently? Did they see marriage the same way? Did they respond to the challenges that you presented to them the same way? Now don't tell me you never presented any challenges to your parents. But did they respond to them the same way? If they didn't, then you have an idea. You have the ability to compare and contrast how they may have looked at that reality. And because of that difference, it sometimes can bring a challenge into the relationship, so much so that now it's challenged to the point of being one or having oneness, because now one parent or the other may want to give more freedom, or one parent may want to shut down some of the freedom, whatever it may be. But it sets up the stage for confusion. It sets up the stage for a lot of challenges in the relationship, not only of the spouses, but also of a spouse and of the child. So see, just not even having a baby, as the child begins to grow and mature, the different ways parents may see the same situation based on the fact that they themselves as children may have been brought up in homes different than what they desire to bring their children up, or what their spouse may have been exposed to as well. Think about it for a moment. We, first of all, almost all of us in America, we are dysfunctional. Now let's break it down. If we looked at demographics, we could say that many of us as black folks, we are dysfunctional. But guess what? Many of the white folks are dysfunctional. Many of the Asians are dysfunctional. Many of the Hispanics are dysfunctional. Many of the, all of the indigenous people. Why? Because we live in a dysfunctional world. If the world was functional, we wouldn't have the statistics that we have today when it comes to marriage. And see, on the macro scale, the only thing we can conclude is that somewhere along the way, the motivation, the proper motivation got displaced and misplaced. And because it got displaced and misplaced, we didn't have the capability to be able to rein it in and to be able to fix it, to be able to fix it to a point that we're now overall demographically more than half the people that marry will end up with a divorce. And then in our community, that number is now almost 3 out of every 4, 75%. See, how can we expect to bear rid of or get rid of dysfunction when we continue to see these trends occurring all around us? And once again, one may ask the question, what is it? What's causing us to lose this original motivation? We already mentioned the fact that just having a baby itself could be that. Being a parent could be that. The other piece, you know, could be how we look at money. See, we use the example of if you had two people making the same amount of money, having a similar comparable living expenses, if they came together, they may be able then to be more productive economically and financially. Yet we know and understand that sometimes that's not the case. One may ask themselves, why is that not the case? Why is it that if two people came together and now instead of both of them having the same amount of monthly expenses, that they come together and the monthly expenses don't improve? What's taking place? See, in some cases, what's taking place is when they have come together, they still didn't develop additional goals, additional plans, and objectives. One of the other may then have been a spendthrift. They may have been someone that loved to spend, that loved to go out and shop, while the other one may be conservative. It's not always a woman that would be one that would do that. It could also be a man. But suffice it to say, because of that indirect difference in perspective on how to do something can have an indirect impact on the motivation if it has not been dealt with, if it has not been counseled with. As a matter of fact, someone asked the question, is it necessary to really have marital counseling? I mean, is that really necessary? It's like this. The Word has admonished us to always seek wisdom and understanding. Always seek, you know, the power and the majesty of the Father. To study to show ourselves approved workmen, men and women, who can rightly divide the word of truth. And knowing and understanding that when we study the word of God both day and night and observe to do everything that's written therein, then we could have success and prosperity. Given those realities, these issues come up, especially about finances. Why is that a problem? Again, think about it, my brothers and sisters. We come out of these different environments. Sometimes we go to college, first generation, second generation, or whatever. It doesn't matter. We're there, and yet we are trying to put together these blended perspectives of how do you deal with money? How do you handle money? And because we sometimes may not have full congruency in that regard, we end up with some challenges. And what we have to do is everything we can to see if when we're dealing with these challenges, we can find a way to get them resolved. Find a way to get them resolved. Perhaps even our original motivation can be extended and expanded. That's really the key point you want to take away. Perhaps when you first saw your spouse, it was a smile. It was a humor. It was authoritative grasp of a particular subject matter, their love of God, their love for music, for entertainment, for physicality, working out. Could have been all kinds of reasons. And over the course of time, what you want to happen is you want it to expand and grow, just like you are. You want to expand and grow. And you don't want to have a situation instead of your motivation being expanded for your spouse and being viewed from a different perspective. It begins to be smaller and smaller because perhaps you make a decision that you want to grow. You want to become more what you believe mentally cognitive competent about particular subject matters of the day. And for the life of you, you are not able to get your spouse to embrace a similar track. And as a matter of fact, it appears that your spouse has even a greater tendency to make fun of or belittle your desire to study something, to grow in a particular way. And because of that, you've been having some problems. You've been having some challenges. See, let's not get it twisted. There are a lot of reasons why our motivation can be adversely impacted. Historically, we always had this idea that, you know, a man may go out and all of a sudden find himself involved outside of marriage doing things that he shouldn't be doing. Or perhaps the same thing for a woman, that she may find herself. And we thought these were the things that will cause marriages to fail. Or we may have had situations where, you know, the man and or woman, they got caught up into some kind of habit, you know, gambling. It doesn't matter what it may have been, whatever activity, but if it was an activity that took away from the security and the protection of the family, it was something that was probably going to have a negative and adverse impact on the original motivation. So instead of the original motivation being expanded, instead of it growing, then all of a sudden it began to be challenged because now that original motivation was no longer there. And many people, to be quite honest, people look at life and they say men sometimes will make the statement of women that when they married Billy Bob or, you know, Janie Mae, they looked this way or that way. And then over the course of their lives, they began to look totally different. And then all of a sudden, one day, the person just wants to say, who are you? Because they made no effort in all of those years to say, let's do something different. Let me gain a different kind of appreciation so that my motivation at the right time is not going to cause me to do something that I would not do otherwise. And see, it's incumbent that we stay focused on that motivation. We stay focused on expanding the motivation. We stay focused on making sure that we are not found guilty of not being able to expand that motivation, whatever it may have been. Remember, we are a person that's made up of not only how we think, but also we are spirit. The word of God is a spirit that must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. You know, we do have these bodies that house this temple that we have, and we're responsible, and we should be motivated to take care of them in the best way possible. We are even admonished by the Apostle Paul that we are to really love our bodies as we love our own wives. And so when we sometimes see the ravages of the world and those things that we can do to our bodies, is it an indication that we are not motivated enough to love our wives? We ask that question. We've got to continue to be motivated to maintain these vessels the best as possible. We know and understand that we live in a world, and oftentimes in a world where many believe there's too many of us, approaching 8 billion people, and that whether we believe it or not, there are so many under the belief that pharmaceuticals and synthetics, drugs and medications are designed oftentimes, whether we realize it or not, to suck out of us vigor, vitality, energy, and years of life. Designed to placate us to a point that we become suboptimized in everything that we do. I just want to encourage you tonight, and if you're just listening in, we are not in town this evening. We're not in the studio, so I'm not able to really work the board tonight. I gave my co-partner, my queen, she knocked out about 7:30 sleep, and she's been resting, and I'm going to just let her rest. I know she's been having some challenges, many women, at her particular development and maturity of life. That's another thing we men have to learn, to be properly motivated as they go through, to understand they may have a bad day or two, but you know that they're going through something that we don't quite understand. And so we just have to pray and ask God to give us the patience and the kindness and the gentleness necessary to walk in the fruit of the Spirit with all of that love and joy, you know, and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control to get through the situation. Because if it wasn't for that, we may sometimes respond in a manner that truly we may be motivated by that moment, but where we are then challenging the motivation that we have from the beginning. So that's why tonight you have not heard my queen, and you won't hear her. I just told her, I said, well, go ahead. She was badly asleep. I said, don't worry about it. We'll go ahead and do the best we can do, and we'll let our audience know that you will be back on next Monday, but you are just getting your rest. And I really do appreciate that because, again, we all have to be motivated by seeing the very best in each other and the very best in our spouse. And at the end of the day, the reason you got married in the first place need to be growing. The list should never be shrinking. It should be growing. It should be a work in progress. It should always be a list that's growing. That when someone will ask you, what was the reason? They're asking you, what was the motivation? What was the reason you all got married? That was like, what was your motivation? What caused you to say yes, or what caused you to ask her to say yes, or ask him to say yes? These days, sometimes, you know, the women, they may be asking the man to marry them. But for whatever it may be, that's your motivation. And over the course of your marriage, again, your life experiences will present challenges that will cause you and your spouse at moments, at times, to appear at odds. When in reality, you're not at odds with each other. You're really not. You're coming to a point to where you're beginning to figure out how to leverage the experience of both. That you come to the point to know and to understand that just because you see a parent in a certain light, you begin to understand it's because that's what you experience. And then through study or through research or through just communication with each other, you begin to find out that, oh, you can blend these experiences. You can blend these things. You know, some of the traditions you can blend, or you may even discontinue. Whatever it may be, you buy into the fact and the reality that your motivation to stay together.
Agape love.